The three men were trying to work quietly, but it was difficult in the darkness. Armed with pry bars, they were making good progress through the back wall of the small building that served as a bank in San Angelo. A small attempt had been made at security, adding some planks to the adobe, but it was not enough to keep out somebody determined to get in.
I still ain't sure this is a good idea, Fisk.
It's just a small hole. Nobody should notice it in the dark. We'll get inside, blow the safe, and be out of here before anybody can stop us. See? Ben's already inside. Stop worrying, Tom.
All three of the men were dressed in patched jeans and faded shirts. Like many in the little cow towns of the West, they were drifters looking to pick up some easy money in whatever ways they could. They had also heard the talk of a gold shipment.
I can't help but worry. This seems like a half-baked idea to me, but we don't even know how much money is here. And what if something goes wrong? And what it leads to when we take his payroll? You saw what he and his friends did at Rosie's a little while ago.
That was personal. If it was army business, he'd still be filing reports before he'd even think about coming after us.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't go by the book with Kurt, even before he started in on Rosie. He may be career army, but I don't know.
Next thing, you'll be worrying about those two drifters that helped Leeds.
Yeah, I am.
Forget it. It's not like they're Texas Rangers or anything. Let's get inside and get this business taken care of.
Pull up some chairs, boys. If you can keep out of trouble long enough, that is.
Of all the people to run into, we haven't seen you in ages.
I heard you two were in town. Decided to look you up.
We've only been here a few hours. You work fast.
Seems to be a lesson I taught y'all as well.
The ranger nodded his head at Mary.
Sam, you think your friend could bring us some fresh drinks? Oh, hell, don't look so surprised. It doesn't take a genius to see the way she looks at you.
At the bar, Rosie was busy dusting off Leeds, making sure he wasn't hurt. The colonel was obviously enjoying the attention. Mary saw the men talking and didn't waste a second. She brought a new tray of beers over and set them on the table. Finch winked at her, but she ignored him to look at Sam.
You were very brave a few minutes ago. Not many men would have fought for me that way. Thanks.
She reached out, gently touched Sam's shoulder. He patted her hand slightly, and she smiled as she turned back to the bar.
Nice looking woman, Sam. Maybe you could teach this old ranger a few tricks.
Some things just come natural.
I wouldn't look to Sam for lessons anyway. He's got lousy taste in women. He never listens to my advice.
You boys never change, do you? Damn glad to see
you. What brings you to San Angelo, Josiah?
I'll be direct with you, boys, like I always have. As you know, we've been having a flood of bank robberies, stage holdups, and wholesale rustling sweeping into Texas countryside. Rangers are spread too damn thin. I myself am investigating the involvement of at least three gangs.
And you have evidence that suggests they're working out of this area?
Nope, not even a shred.
Then why San Angelo?
Why not? It's a gathering spot for buffalo hunters and others of that type. It's got a stage line running through it. It's relatively near the Mexican border. It seems a logical spot. But there's something even more important.
Sam nodded his head wisely. He knew what was coming. Matt was left in the dark.
And what is that?
A hunch. Something told me to show up here. So here I am. And here you are.
And here we are?
Hell yes. I was hoping to run into you boys. The Rangers need more manpower. But it's damn hard to find the kind of men we need who are willing to work for what we pay. So you two are just the ticket. You've got the guts, the gumption, and the smarts. You can shoot, you can fight, you can track, and you work cheap. I'll bet you the next round of beers that you brought that Murdoch character in and served as bodyguards for these political types just out of the goodness of your hearts.
Remind me never to play poker with you, Josiah.
Keep that in mind, Sam. I'd clean you out before the evening was half over. But that's neither here nor there.
Get to the point, Josiah.
I'm offering you two a job. How'd you like to join up with the Texas Rangers?
Fisk easily slipped through the opening near the ground. Tom had a little more difficulty, since he was bigger than Fisk and Ben.
Damn it, you should have made this hole bigger.
You should have skipped a few meals.
Oh, shut up, help me in.
Ben walked over and saw the situation.
Why don't you clowns stop fooling around?
Tom's stuck.
Just having a little difficulty, not stuck.
At this rate, we'll never get this bank robbed. We'll help you through. Come on, take hold.
The two men standing over Tom reached down, each taking one of his arms, and dragged him through the rest of the way. Part of his shirt caught on the rough opening and ripped.
Damn, that was my good shirt.
Forget it. After tonight, you can buy a dozen new shirts.
Ben stepped back over to the safe.
Remember, here's the plan. I set the powder in the safe and the door. They'll blow at the same time. Each of us grabs as much as we can handle. We go for the gold, but we could use the paper, too.
Well, how much gold will there be for the army payroll?
Come to think of it, I don't rightly know. The only gold I've ever managed to get a hold of disappeared so damn fast I couldn't get a feel for it. I've seen some of the prosecutors up in Colorado bring it in. I imagine it'd be at least one bag each.
Damn.
You said it. We'll have it easy then, no doubt of that.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. We get the gold and some paper. Then we skip out through the hole in the wall that the explosion makes.
Well, how much time do you figure we have?
That'll be at least several minutes before anybody can react. And I can't imagine too many rushing into a burning building and possibly a bunch of bullets. It'll be enough time.
I'll still say we should have practiced it.
And when would we do that? Hell, even those fools working for Leeds would know something was up if they saw us jumping around practicing a damn bank robbery. The horses are tied out back. We'll meet at the old campsite by the North River. Understand?
The other two nodded their heads.
This'll be the easiest money we ever made. Don't know why we never thought of it before.
Ben started to work on the safe.
No. Are you serious? Sam and I would be terrible rangers. We do things our way. We don't take orders. When we start something, we don't stop until we do what we set out to do. And whoever gets in our way, be damned.
Exactly.
He's serious, Sam.
You're right. He is serious.
Colonel Leeds walked slowly over to the table, his arm around Rosie.
Quite a party you're having, Josiah.
These boys have a good time wherever they go. I suppose you know Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves?
Oh, yes, we've met. They brought in that outlaw Murdoch earlier today. Good men, and good company.
Rosie tugged at his sleeve, but he continued.
By the way, Josiah, something you might be interested in? Quinn says that Murdoch called one of the gang members Dingo.
Well, that is real interesting. I'll pay that boy a visit. With your permission, of course.
Rosie tugged at his sleeve again.
Be my guest. Right now, however, that shootout took a lot out of me. Rosie's going to see me home. I need to get up early tomorrow and prepare my report for this incident tonight.
By all means. You need your beauty sleep. But before you get away, I'll ask your advice. What do you think about Matt and Sam joining the Rangers?
Leeds regarded the two blood brothers again.
They'd make better Rangers than they would soldiers.
A diplomatic answer if I ever heard one.
I need all the diplomacy I can get with these two Easterners underfoot tomorrow. But it's all part of the job, I suppose. Good night, gents.
After Leeds left, Finch turned to the brothers.
He's a good man. A little too much spit and polish for my taste, but not a bad sort. Now, let's get back to business. I'm not asking you two to make a career of the Rangers. Just join my company until I can wrap up some of my investigations. I'd be willing to bet that we could put a lid on some of this crime spree here in Texas.
Keep talking.
Look at it this way. Even the federal boys need you. Things are getting pretty bad when our own government representatives are attacked in broad daylight by a gang of outlaws.
You have a point. But we may not be that patriotic.
You might want to consider this. You heard Leeds. This may be the bunch I've been after for quite some time. A gang led by some mean SOB named Dingo Whaley. I'm hoping to get some hard evidence against them. Since you've already tangled with them and brought in Murdoch, you all would be a natural choice to help continue with the investigation.
Murdoch looked like a buffalo hunter. That mean anything?
The Whaley gang has been known to make some legitimate money as buffalo hunters. Oh, pardon me, Sam, if you can consider such a thing as legitimate.
Then count me in. I'll go after them just for the fun of it.
You've convinced Sam. You still need to convince me.
Okay, Matt. I'll give you something else to consider as well. I know you boys. I know the kind of mischief you can get into. While you're in Texas, I'd just as soon keep an eye on you. And it'd be easier if you're working for me.
You silver-tongued devil. At least you're honest. It'd be interesting to see you try to keep an eye on us.
If anybody could do it, Josiah would be the man.
You've got me. You can count me in as well. Just keep in mind that you owe us one.
What's taking so long?
It's hard to see in the dark, Fisk. Get too much powder, and I'll blow this place sky high. Too little, and it wouldn't blow out a gnat. It's delicate work.
Just get to it.
Fine. You got a match? Didn't bring a match?
I got one.
Well, give it here. Thanks. I hope somebody remembered to put the horses out back.
I took care of that. That was my job. Matches were your job.
Once the fuses were lit, Ben dived for cover with the other two. The robbers ignored the adobe, wood splinters, and dust raining down on them. Any disagreements they may have had were forgotten as the safe door was jerked open. Inside were only a few small bags and some currency tied together in bundles.
Is that the gold? It don't look like much.
I don't know. You take as much as you can. Whatever you can. Then let's get out of here. Remember, we'll meet on the river.
Josiah Finch stood, reached out, and shook hands with Sam and then with Matt.
I'm glad you decided to see things my way. It'll be good having you boys work with me.
When are you going to swear us in?
Well, let's see. We could finish our beer first, or maybe two beers.
What the?
I've changed my mind. How about being sworn in right now? Raise your right hands. Do you swear to do your damnedest to uphold the laws in the state of Texas and so on and so forth? In that case, boys, you all are Texas Rangers.
He reached into his pocket, pulled out two badges, and handed them to Matt and Sam. They pinned the medal to their shirts.
Now, let's see what the hell is going on.
The robbers worked quickly inside the small building. The gold and stacks of paper were stuffed in the bags, and the three men left through the hole in the wall. All three had their guns drawn, but surprisingly few people were on the street, even after the explosion. Fisk was the first to reach his horse. He spurted out of town, almost running down a drunk cowboy leaving one of the bars. Ben and Tom were almost as quick, though they took off in two other directions. Tom's path took him past the building where Leeds lived. He was hastily coming through the door, pulling on his pants. Tom took a shot at him just for the fun of it. A shot came from behind him. Both shots missed, though Tom heard the bullet whiz past his ear. He spurred his horse to even more speed as he looked back and saw the small Texas Ranger, Josiah Finch, holding a smoking gun. His shot had come mighty close for the Ranger to be so far away, and Tom was going to take no further chances. The outlaw didn't bother to shoot back. He felt the weight of the bag against his leg. All he wanted now was to make his escape. After another 2 miles, he slowed his horse to a walk and left the main trail. He wondered if anybody would give chase and when. He thought about covering his trail and wondered if the other two robbers also would. But could anybody track in the dry Texas soil? He had never thought about it before. The other two had seemed so certain that the plan would work. He had thought so too, for a while. Now he had an awful lot of questions, but the deed had been done. There would be no turning back. Tom was now traveling by starlight and came to a small hill. Faint trails led to either side of it. One trail led to the agreed-upon meeting place. The other trail led to the east, and then south in a roundabout way, perhaps to Mexico. He had never been to Mexico, and wondered what it would be like. The bag now seemed comfortable against his leg. He wondered what he would gain by meeting with the other two as planned. Perhaps they were being followed by Leeds or his men. Would they have more or less in their bags than Tom had in his? What would happen if he just kept riding? The horse waited patiently as the outlaw thought about his options. He got off the horse and opened the bag. It was too dark to make out any details of the bag's contents. He looked behind him. It was still quiet. He crouched down and started a very small fire, just enough to cast some light to examine the gold and paper. The amount of gold was disappointingly small, only about $300 worth of gold coins. He had risked his life for that? He untied the bundles of paper and was even more disappointed. It was some currency, but primarily IOUs from the army. They would be virtually worthless to anybody but the bank, since nobody else could possibly collect on these debts. Angrily, he threw the paper on the small fire.
Bam! Nice! Oh.
The paper caused the small flame to flare up. He kicked dirt at it and hoped that nobody had caught sight of the fire.
Is it customary to put your new rangers to work so quickly after being sworn in?
Nope. Usually we let them finish their drinks. For you boys, I made the exception.
They got to the street in time to see one of the outlaws almost run down a cowboy. Two others were riding away in different directions. One of the outlaws took a shot at Leeds as he passed. Josiah pulled his big gun and took a shot. The outlaw kept riding.
Damn! Missed!
If you hit him, it would have been a lucky shot at this distance.
Lucky for you, not for Josiah.
Thanks, Sam. Made me glad I hired you. I'll have to talk with Matt one of these days about his skepticism.
A crowd had now started to form, so Finch holstered his gun again.
They went different directions. I think I can track.
You're a damn fine tracker, Sam, but let's not go off half-cocked. Let's take a look at the damage and see what's going on.
Leeds had on his pants and a shirt by the time Finch and his new recruits had made it to the building. Leeds paused long enough to pull another man from the crowd. Finch looked over the damaged building with an experienced eye.
Didn't expect to see you again so soon, Josiah. I'd better things planned for my time.
Bet you did. She'll wait. Is that the banker?
Yes, sir. The name's Barney Cooper. I represent the Bank Association.
We'll talk in a minute. Sam, Matt, clear out these rubberneckers, will you? I have some questions for our friends here. Let's go inside what's left of the building.
Fisk had a fast horse and made good time. He arrived at the river just hours after the robbery. The other two hadn't shown up yet. He opened his bag and was also disappointed at how little gold there was. It had seemed like a good plan, but that had been after several drinks. Now he was sobering up, and the full realization hit him that he had just robbed a bank almost across the street from an army post. This was not the smartest thing he had ever done, though enough gold would have made the risk worthwhile. The gold in his bag wasn't enough. He had stuck his neck out for almost nothing. He put the money back in the bag and made himself comfortable, pulling a bottle out of his saddlebags. He took a sip and thought about the situation. The more he drank, the more angry he got about the gold. Was it his fault that the shipment wasn't at the bank like it was supposed to be? The other two clowns almost messed up the robbery in any case. Did they really deserve equal shares? Maybe if he could combine his gold and the other two men's and keep it for himself. Fisk took another sip of whiskey and did some mental calculations. Unless they had a whole lot more than he did, it still wouldn't make him rich, but it would make him feel better about the job. After a few more drinks, he had his plan. He would simply take their gold for himself. They could have the paper money if they wanted it. He hid, waiting for the other two to show up. Finch was sitting in the chair behind the banker's desk in what was left of Cooper's office, forcing the banker to stand. Leeds was sitting on the edge of the desk. Matt and Sam were near the door.
You got a pretty small operation here.
We've just gotten started. We planned to grow with the town.
Looks like the robbers blew the safe. What was in it?
Not much. We don't have much on hand. Some gold, some paper, some currency, some markers.
Not hardly enough to make all this trouble worthwhile.
Well, apparently it was to the robbers.
I'll be straight with you. It's no secret that a big shipment of gold is coming in for the army payroll. If I heard the rumor, so did others. They didn't listen as closely as I did. I must have thought it already arrived and was kept in the bank. Am I right?
Well, yes.
That's a good guess, Josiah. I'll make sure that the actual shipment is in a much more secure place than this bank.
I'm sure you will. But what concerns me is that another attempt will be made when the gold actually gets here. We need to take that into account. Me and the boys will work with you on that. In the meantime, I reckon we'll go after the yahoos that robbed Cooper's bank.
I'm glad you see fit to get back my money.
Oh, that's not the crime I'm concerned about.
Really?
I'm more concerned about the crime of disturbing our peace. I was having a good time drinking with these boys until they blew your building to pieces.
Ben wasn't real satisfied with his work. The holes in the buildings were too big, but he had claimed to be an expert, and they did the job. The safe was open, they had gotten away, and the loot was in the bags. He had grabbed as much of the gold as he could find. When added to that taken by Tom and Fisk, it would probably total a decent amount. He doubted if anybody would give chase. He knew from talk around town that there was really no law to speak of, except for the army and the one ranger, and they would be too busy with other problems to go after a few small robbers. Ben was not that familiar with the area and had to go slowly over the rough terrain. Several times he almost got lost until he found his way again. The robbers had not agreed upon a time to meet, which was just as well since Ben was making such poor progress. It was getting near morning when he finally reached the wide spot near the river where he was to meet Fisk and Tom. He moved cautiously, suspicious when he saw no sign of life.
Where are they?
Ben's horse moved slowly toward the river. He stopped at the water's edge to allow the horse to drink. The outlaw stepped down, dropped the reins, and sat on a dry spot away from the water. Apparently, he was the first to arrive, in spite of his delay. He opened the bag and started to count.
So, you finally made it, Ben.
And you, Fisk?
Been waiting for you.
Why are you hiding? Come on out.
You got the gold?
Right here. I was just getting ready to count it.
Fisk stepped out from behind a bush, holding a gun at Ben's stomach.
Let's count it together.
Ben realized that Fisk had been drinking. Sure, they'd had a few drinks in town while they planned the robbery. If they hadn't, they might not have had the courage to try it. But why would he drink now that they had gotten safely away? Something in Fisk's voice made Ben tense up, but he was on the wrong end of a gun and could do nothing now except to follow orders. Leeds followed the rangers outside.
I can get some men together to help you hunt these fellas down. I don't want them running loose when the gold really gets here.
I wouldn't worry too much about these robbers. I doubt if they could plan or carry out a bigger job than this.
Well, that's true. I'm more concerned about Murdoch's friends, the Whaley gang. And since one of their men is your prisoner, that makes me even more nervous. On the other hand, it might work out for the best. Since I've been trying to get some evidence on them for a long time, we might be able to use all this to our advantage.
You got a plan, Josiah?
We'll take care of that when the time comes. For now, these boys are anxious to be on the trail. And so am I, for that matter. Thanks for offering us the use of your men, but I think they just get in the way. We'll take care of it. You get back to that unfinished business. Sam, Matt, each of you take a man. They'll probably meet up someplace close to town. I have some ideas about where they might meet. I have a little business to take care of here, then I'll find you two. Between the three of us, we'll have these fellas brought in by morning, and we can start thinking about more serious business.
Like breakfast.
You learn fast.
Matt saddled quickly and pointed his horse in the direction that Tom, the outlaw who had shot at Leeds, had gone. It was still dark, but it would soon be dawn. He wondered why Josiah had taken so long to go after the outlaws who robbed the bank, but the ranger was older and more experienced and had the trust of Matt and Sam like few other men had. So if Josiah felt there was no need to hurry, Matt would go along with the decision. A light was burning in the colonel's quarters as Matt rode by. Maybe Leeds was already working. Spit and polish was the way that Josiah described the colonel. Apparently, he was right. Matt decided that he never wanted that kind of job. Too much paperwork. He predicted, however, that Leeds would go far in his army career if he didn't step on the wrong toes. Matt didn't ride slowly, but neither did he hurry. He was following the main road out of town, keeping his eyes open. The dirt road turned into a wide path. On each side was scrub grass and mesquite. He noticed a few small marks in the dirt on the right of the trail. It was an even smaller path. The marks and the path could barely be seen and would have been missed if he hadn't been looking for them. He was not near the tracker that Sam was, but his blood brother had shown him a few tricks, and Matt did a fair job. There was no guarantee that this was the outlaw's trail, though the marks looked fresh, and he had a hunch it would be. He turned his horse to follow the faint trail. The sky started to lighten in the east. Gentle rolling hills could now be seen in the distance, still in shadows. Matt saw the faint trail. Apparently, the outlaw was moving fast, not caring if he left telltale marks in the soil. The trail led to a small hill. The path split in two, going in opposite directions. The ground here was more rocky, making tracks more difficult to see. Sam probably could have figured it out, but Matt was temporarily stumped. He could make a guess and follow one of the forks until he found some more sign, but that could take too long. He fully intended to bring in his man before breakfast, just to see the look on Finch's face. Matt urged his horse up the small incline. The land here was relatively flat, and even this little hill gave him a broad view of the surrounding area. He didn't really expect to find anything, but hoped he might get lucky. He slowly scanned the hills in the distance. At first, he saw nothing. As he looked again, however, he thought he saw a tiny flicker to his right. It was bright for an instant, and then was gone. Perhaps it was nothing, but Matt decided to take the gamble. He rode down the hill to take the path on the right. Josiah Finch stepped boldly into the building that served as a jail in San Angelo. It was really part of the fort and manned by soldiers, constructed of rock and bars over the windows and doors, but it had also held its share of civilian prisoners. This night, it held Mel Murdoch. The soldier guarding the prisoner stood and blocked the door leading back to the cells.
Sir,
I'm here to talk with the prisoner.
That is highly irregular.
Then check with Leeds. Last I saw, he was with Rosie and headed for home. If you don't trust me, feel free to check with him. I'm sure he won't mind being interrupted.
Well, it's not a matter of trust, sir. I was just told to guard the prisoner, and
I'm a captain in the Texas Rangers. That gives me the authority.
The soldier moved to one side, handing the cell keys to Finch as he passed.
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, I'll continue to stand guard here.
Yep, do your duty.
Murdoch was asleep on his bunk when Finch entered. He blinked several times, but Finch gave him no time to react. The ranger reached down and pulled the outlaw up by his shirt.
The name's Josiah Finch, Texas Ranger. You and I are going to have a little talk.
I have nothing to say.
Finch pushed Murdoch down on the bunk and leaned against the wall opposite him.
We have hard evidence that you killed that driver back on the trail. You'll probably hang for that.
Not a chance. There's no evidence I pulled the trigger. There were lots of us. We wore masks. Nobody could identify us.
It'll be enough for a Texas judge and jury. You know that. You're already as good as hanged. Hell, he might even hang you before the judge gets here. Save the state the cost of a trial.
Well, that'll never happen. They'll break me out first.
Just who are they? Who do you work for?
I don't work for anybody.
I know better. You're one of Dingo Whaley's gang. We could probably work a deal if you tell me what I need to know. Where are they now? What are their plans? If you lead me to them, I might be able to keep your neck out of the noose.
Whoa, what, do I look stupid? They'd kill me if they even thought I had turned... if I worked for somebody else, they wouldn't like it.
I know Whaley's reputation. I think you just confirmed what I thought I already knew. You're one of Whaley's gang. That's all I need to know, for now.
Stuff it up your bunghole, old man. Peddle it elsewhere.
You might be surprised where I peddle it.
The soldier was waiting for him.
Where are you headed for now, sir? Do you have a message for the colonel?
I'm off to join two of my fellow rangers. With any luck, I'll find them and be back before Leeds is out of the bed in the morning.
Sam was not making real good time in the search for his man. The trail was easy to follow, but the outlaw seemed to wander around. At first, Sam thought the outlaw was trying to confuse the trail, but quickly decided he was probably just lost. He would hate to let Matt get his prisoner and be back in town first, since he would gloat and be generally insufferable. Sam also knew patience, however, and shrugged off his frustration as he followed the robber he was after. The morning sun was starting to shine faintly from behind the hills. Sam could smell the faint odors of a river. The man he was following had apparently found his way, for his path for a while made a straight line for the river, only to veer off again. This time, Sam didn't follow the tracks because he found a second set of tracks, also leading to the river. This could be the place where the robbers would meet, if the outlaw he was following ever found his way. Sam dismounted to continue on foot. He didn't have far to travel. He almost stumbled upon a man stretched out on the ground, watching the river. He had his gun on the ground beside him within easy reach. Sam also fell to the ground, unnoticed by the outlaw. He remained motionless for long minutes. His patience was awarded when another man rode onto a wide spot near the river. He rode hesitantly, then dismounted and looked around expectantly, holding a bag in his hand that he started to open. The outlaw on the ground picked up his gun and stepped out from behind the bush where he was hiding, pointing his gun at the other man's stomach. Sam pulled his own gun and inched closer so that he could hear the talk.
Sure, Fisk, we'll count it together.
You bet we will. Just hand me the bag.
The other man hesitated. Fisk waved his gun around.
Stop delaying, Ben. Hand me the bag.
Sam didn't like the looks of the situation. He really didn't care if one of the crooks killed the other. He had planned, however, on bringing in both men as prisoners, simply as a matter of honor. It looked as if he would have to step in and take care of matters. The sun had now risen above the hills. When he moved, he would have to move fast. Sam held his gun loosely, ready to use it if needed.
You've been drinking. Maybe you should sober up a little. Don't want anybody to get hurt. Don't want to make a mistake or something.
The bullet from Fisk's gun dug into the ground near Ben, kicking up dirt onto his boots.
Won't be no mistake. I want the money.
Yes, I can see that now.
It was just plain bad luck that the gold shipment wasn't there like it was supposed to be. That would have been plenty for everybody. The way it turned out, it's barely enough for one. I plan to be the one. So just hand the bag over to me. We'll have no problems.
Sure, Fisk. Whatever you say.
Ben slowly walked toward Fisk, holding the bag of bank loot in front of him. Matt rode quickly toward the spot where he thought he had seen the flicker of a fire. It was still dark, but he could see well enough. The spot where the fire had been was closer than he realized, and he arrived at it sooner than he expected. His arrival was also unexpected by the outlaw. Tom had not yet gotten back on his horse when Matt galloped toward him. He was so surprised that he did not even have a chance to pull his gun. Matt jumped from his horse's back without slowing.
Who in blazes are you?
Matthew Bodine, Texas Ranger. You're under arrest.
Like hell I am.
The outlaw was a big man and more solidly built than Matt expected. The blow knocked the wind out of him, forcing him to the ground. Tom made use of the advantage. Though Matt took the blows from Tom's boot, he was also figuring the strengths and weaknesses of his opponent. The outlaw was fighting hard, but it was more desperation than skill. Matt would therefore find his opening soon enough. Matt rolled out of the way, tangling up the outlaw's legs in the process. Tom went down. Angrily, Matt also kicked, landing a solid blow to the other man's chin, snapping it back. It dazed the outlaw, though he came up swinging. Matt easily dodged the blows, moved in beneath them, and delivered a solid right to the chin. The outlaw staggered back, but he remained conscious.
I can bring you in easy, or I can bring you in the hard way. The choice is up to you.
I heard there wasn't a law to worry about in this part of Texas.
Guess you heard wrong.
Hey, damn luck.
Tom's hand reached for the gun on his hip. His hand didn't even touch the handle. The first bullet went through the fleshy part of Tom's gun hand. The second went through his shoulder. His arm was suddenly useless as the red seeped into his shirt from the wounds. Dazed, he fell to his knees. Matt approached the outlaw carefully and removed the gun from his holster.
What's your name?
Tom. Tom Bungie.
Tom Bungie? You're under arrest. I don't have any handcuffs, but I doubt if you'll give me any trouble. Not with that arm the way it is. Let me look at it. I think we can patch it up enough to stop the bleeding and get you to town.
Ranger, who are you?
The name's Bodine. Matt Bodine.
Tom's eyes opened wider.
Matt Bodine, the gunfighter? Damn, you could have killed me easy. Why didn't you?
Matt tore away the shirt and saw the wounds were clean. They wouldn't be fatal.
Didn't want to kill you. Saw no need. And I want you to take me to your other two friends.
Why would I do a damn fool thing like that?
It might help in your trial. It might keep me from killing you after all. You come up with your own reasons.
Oh, damn. Guess I owe you something.
Matt picked up the bag.
Is that all the loot?
The gold. The rest is there in the fire. I got kind of angry at all the worthless paper. It wasn't all burned up, but I suppose it still might be worth something.
Pick it up. We'll bring it back. I don't want anybody to say that this ranger left behind any of the evidence. Or the stolen money.
Tom's face was turning white as the shock wore off, and he started to feel the pain of his wounds. He picked up the charred paper with his good hand.
Oh, this was a lousy idea to start with. I should have gone on to Mexico years ago. Now I guess it's too late.
That's where you were heading? To Mexico? How about the others? What are their plans?
How should I know? I barely knew them when we came up with this stupid plan.
Where are you going to meet them?
Down on the river. We're not that far away.
Take me there.
All right. Guess at this point I don't have anything left to lose.
Sam watched quietly as Ben neared Fisk with a bag of stolen money. Fisk unsteadily held the gun on Ben. Suddenly, Ben swung the bag. The blow was awkward, but hit Fisk in the face. His gun went off just inches from Ben's ear. He swung the bag again, hitting a bruising blow to Fisk's shoulder. Ben dropped the bag and grabbed for the gun. Sam decided he had waited long enough. He jumped up and raced toward the two.
This is Sam Two Wolves, Texas Ranger. You're both under arrest.
The sound of his name and the title of Texas Ranger used in the same sentence almost made Sam smile. But his thought was cut short as bullets suddenly started flying in his direction. Sam hit the ground and returned fire. From over a nearby hill, the sound of another familiar gun was heard. Matt suddenly appeared, shooting fast and furious. His prisoner rode behind him, hands tied to the saddle horn. Ben pulled his gun but seemed unsure who to shoot at. Fisk took another shot toward Sam, then fired a shot at Matt. Sam took careful aim and shot once. His bullet hit the gun in Fisk's hand. The other outlaw quickly placed his gun on the ground and raised his hands in surrender. Sam moved in to make the arrests.
Just like you to make a big entrance. As it turns out, you really weren't needed. I have my two prisoners to your one.
Don't underestimate my part in this arrest. If not for me, you might have had a major fight on your hands.
Well, maybe we both can claim credit.
Matt interrupted his blood brother by raising his hand and pointing to another low hill to their left.
Is there a fourth outlaw in this gang?
Don't think so.
Then who's the horseman riding this way?
As if we didn't know.
Josiah Finch came into view just as the sun shined brightly over the hills. He stopped his horse dramatically, kicking up dirt in front of Matt, Sam, and the outlaws they had just arrested.
Looks like you all did a good job.
Aren't you maybe a little late?
No, I haven't had breakfast yet, so I figure the timing is just about right.
Dingo Whaley was a straightforward man who involved himself in jobs that didn't require subtle planning. Buffalo hunts, stagecoach robberies, bank holdups, killings for hire. He figured the same direct approach would work just as well in Mexico. Whaley was sitting at a table in a local cantina just south of the border. Pierce and Jessup sat on either side of him. All three were drinking warm Mexican beer, though an unopened bottle of tequila sat in the center of the table. Empty chairs were across from the Americans.
Jessup, where is this Raul Delgado character?
He'll be here.
My time is valuable, and Delgado is late.
Despite his quiet tone, anger was smoldering in his eyes. Jessup was the one that had arranged the meeting. If it didn't go right, Whaley's anger could be directed at him.
We're in Mexico now. They got a different way of doing things down here. Besides, Delgado thinks he's some kind of big shot. He's in charge of the federal forces in this part of the country. So I guess maybe he is. Maybe he's trying to play a game. Wait you out.
I don't like being made to wait.
Give him 10 more minutes.
Whaley moved his glass across the table. His fingers were tense.
5 minutes.
Sure, Dingo, that's plenty of time. While we're waiting, I'll order us another round. Camarero, más cervezas, por favor.
The bartender was a large, surly-looking man who was talking to several others at the bar. He glanced over at the table, then continued his talk, as if he hadn't heard a thing. 3 minutes passed. Whaley looked at Jessup.
My cervezas! Ahora!
The bartender ignored him again. 4 minutes passed. Whaley pushed back his chair. After 4.5 minutes passed, a tall Mexican in a uniform stepped through the door. Some of the customers in the bar slipped out before the soldiers could block the doors. The ones that didn't make it moved quietly back to their tables. Delgado ignored everybody else and moved straight for the table. He sat down, pulled the cork from the tequila bottle with his teeth, and poured himself a glass.
You're not cutting that with anything?
Do I look like some kind of panty waste?
I'm impressed. You know who I am. I know who you are. I want to do some business.
You Americans are so direct. I want to have another drink from my personal stock.
Delgado raised a finger. The bartender jumped up, grabbed a bottle, and almost ran to the table. Before he made it even halfway across the floor, Whaley exploded. He grabbed the bartender by the throat and started to shake him.
You ignored us! I don't like being ignored!
Jessup nervously watched for Delgado's reaction. This was his territory, after all, and he might not appreciate somebody else beating up one of his citizens. Everybody watched the American beat on the bartender. Whaley lifted him from the ground and punched him solidly in the gut. Whaley punched him again, then threw him to the floor. The tequila bottle slipped from his grasp and rolled several feet across the floor. Then Whaley really went berserk. Blood streamed down the Mexican's face. Finally, his anger spent, Whaley reached down and picked up the tequila bottle and placed it on the table.
I hate being ignored, Delgado.
I can see that. Quite a display, Senor Whaley. Is that how you treat everybody, or just bartenders?
I'm generally quite reasonable. Ask my men here. Pierce? Jessup?
The very picture of reason.
Yep, as always.
And your men are loyal to you?
Count on it. They know what's good for them.
The bartender was trying to crawl away. Delgado poured tequila from his bottle and motioned to two of his soldiers.
Help remove Carlos, and warn him next time to be more prompt in his service.
Can we discuss business now?
I admire your style. I can see it gets results. Let's discuss what you have in mind.
Sam and Josiah Finch rode at front, followed by the three captured outlaws. Matt brought up the rear.
You boys are pretty slick capturing these hooligans.
Are these one of the gangs you've been after?
Unfortunately, no. These are some small-time hoods. I'm not complaining, mind you, especially since we got most of the money back. But these are just the little fish, when it's the bigger fish I'm after. It's the Whaley gang that's really been giving me fits.
You think Murdoch is part of the gang?
Seems to me that it's a sure thing. I had a little chat with him last night before I rode out to find you and Matt. He didn't say much. The way he said it confirmed to me that he's in with Whaley. I think there might be a way we can use that to our advantage.
How's that?
We could track down the gang, but that would take time. We need to bring them to us. That gold shipment might be enough to entice them up to San Angelo. Then again, it might not be. If we could somehow get them to thinking that Murdoch has turned on them and is singing to us, it might bring them up faster. That, combined with the gold, would almost certainly lure them up here. Of course, we'd be ready for them.
How would we get word to them and make them believe it?
Sam, you're one of the best men I know, but you still have lots to learn. The criminal world has its own network. Word travels fast among the outlaws. We'll just help the rumors get started.
He nodded toward the three prisoners riding behind them.
We'll drop comments here and there. Let them overhear the talk. When we get to town, I'll have leads to make sure these prisoners are housed away from Murdoch so they can assume the worst. We'll pick out one of the men and try and make a deal with him as well. It can be done.
I'll let Matt in on the plan.
Better yet, just start the talk with him. We're almost back to town. There'll be time. Remember, we can't be too obvious. When we have an idea of where the gang is holed up, we'll let our fish swim away. Then we'll be waiting for him with our net.
Delgado looked thoughtful as he twirled the tequila glass between his palms.
What you are suggesting is quite illegal. Mexico has very strict laws, perhaps more strict than even the United States. We do not allow wrongdoers to go unpunished in our country. We search them out and issue swift and sure justice.
I don't doubt it. So, of course, I'll give you my word we would not violate any Mexican law. We are guests in your country. But if our operations all take place on the northern side of the Rio Grande, then we would not be violating your laws. And we would not insult you by offering a bribe. We would make appropriate gifts. And I will make sure that they are generous gifts.
Our law does not allow tolerance in cases of pursuit. And Americans have little regard for international boundaries to start with. By law, we could not protect you.
What if we could prove to you that your boundaries must be respected by American authorities?
Pardon me for being rude, but you do not look to be in a position to know your government's policy.
Jessup, show the Comandante the papers.
Jessup took the papers stolen during the robbery out of his ticket, slid them across the table. Delgado snapped his fingers, and one of his men stepped forward, read them, and translated the words into Spanish.
So, your government is investigating and is issuing orders that the boundary be respected. Invaluable information, Senor Whaley. That is information that I can use to further my country's goals. I believe we can do business, up to a point. I will agree to overlook certain minor transgressions, unofficially, of course, that may occur during your excursions north. You may make whatever gifts you feel are appropriate. It will be to the benefit of Mexico.
Whaley held up his glass.
To Mexico!
Delgado casually lifted his glass, took a drink, and continued.
Even though I admit your information is valuable, I do have access to a wider variety of sources than you. Perhaps I could share information with you as it becomes available.
What kind of information?
For example, a gold shipment coming into Fort Concho in a matter of days. It is payroll for the soldiers stationed there. It is gold that could be used for good purpose in this country. For us to attack the United States would be an act of war. But if the gold were to be somehow rerouted...
I like your thinking. Very patriotic.
I will check with my sources. I also have some plans involving your government friends from whom you stole those papers. I will get back with you. In the meantime, what is your next move?
Something simple. Maybe a stagecoach robbery. Just keep sharp.
How soon?
How about this morning?
Senor Whaley, you are truly a man of action. You are ruthless. You are smart. But then, so am I. It will make for an interesting partnership.
Sam had fallen back to ride beside Matt, behind the prisoners. They were near enough to San Angelo to see the outline of Fort Concho in the distance.
Think these fellows will like the jail cells Finch picked out for them?
Ben was the one nearest to Sam. He tried not to look interested as he listened.
Not as much as Murdoch likes his. Since he's cooperating in the case against the Whaley gang, he's doing well for himself.
I don't understand some of these people. How can anybody turn on their friends that way, even to save themselves?
No honor among thieves. I'd be willing to bet, however, that Whaley would be quite interested in knowing about Murdoch's working with the authorities.
Yep. Quite interested.
Colonel Leeds met the Rangers and their prisoners on the front step of his office.
You get rested up, Colonel?
I feel quite well, thank you. I've already got my report prepared and filed.
Finch tossed down the bags of gold and paper to Leeds.
I bet you have. Here's the money back. Here are the culprits. I'll take no credit for the arrests. It was all due to Matt and Sam.
You two never cease to amaze me. I'd rather have you two as friends than as enemies.
We need a jail cell for these three. Nothing as nice as you have for Murdoch. I don't want any preferential treatment for these scoundrels.
Whatever you say, Josiah, I'll see that they get what they deserve. I can find them a cell with all the creepy, crawly things imaginable, and they won't see daylight again.
Oh.
Tom was disgusted at the thought of even more time spent behind bars. Fisk looked at the Blood Brothers and snarled with hatred. Ben fidgeted nervously with his tied hands but said nothing. Finch dismounted as the prisoners were led away.
Now, for some breakfast.
Not so fast, Josiah. I wasn't the only one up bright and early. Those two government men, Eastern and Holtz, have been examining the records. They're inside waiting for you. They want to talk.
So we'll talk after breakfast.
They want to talk now. They seem to be aware of your reputation and want to discuss a few items with you before you get away again.
Finch stood, arms crossed against his chest.
You know how I feel about some empty-headed bureaucrats trying to tell me how to do my job.
Humor me, Josiah. All they want to do is make a good appearance for their bosses in Washington. Let them do their dog and pony show, and they'll be out of our hair in no time. I hope.
Oh, fine. Sam, Matt, come on in. We've had our fun. Now it's time to get to the really tough part of the job.